I have the roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Vice President Villa?
Here.
And President Wyatt?
You all stand and join me in the flag salute.
Ready, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess we will call for public comment on items not on the agenda today, and it's a single-purpose agenda. So anything, any item that is not on the agenda for today. If anybody wants to say something that is not about the fire tax, they could come forward. And I don't see anybody coming forward, so we'll move on. To our business item, an informational presentation regarding Measure A-22 on the ballot on the June 7, 2022 primary election for voters within the Oceano Community Service District boundaries regarding a special tax for emergency medical and fire protection services. And before we start, I understand we all have free speech rights. That said, I believe it would be refreshing if we could all refrain from attacking individual audience members, board members, and staff by name. Thank you. Move on to Mr. Clemens.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? Excellent. Thank you. My name is Will Clemens. I'm the general manager for Oceano Community Services District. So thank you all for coming. I'll just kind of explain what we're going to do moving forward here on this item. Really, this is intended to be an informational session for our special tax election that is coming up on the June 7th ballot. So we're going to have a presentation, myself and Battalion Chief Salci here. Then we're going to open it up for questions or comments from the board, then questions and comments from the public. So you'll each have 3 minutes to make your comments, ask any questions. We'll be taking those questions down as we go, and then at the end of the public comment, we'll try to answer those questions at the end. So that's kind of the process we'll take. And then we'll move on from there. We also have with us today Wade Horton, our county administrative officer. He's with us and can answer any questions that relate to county services if they happen to come up. So we're happy that he took time out of his weekend to come visit us today. So thank you, Wade. All right. So next slide, please. So our presentation today, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened with our Measure A-20 in March of 2020, the result of that election, and the impact. Then we're going to talk about what is and why the special tax that we're putting forth now in June of 2022, and then what happens if Measure A-2022 passes, and what happens if it fails. And then basically try to boil it down. What does the decision boil down to for you? And hopefully that'll help you make up your mind on how you want to vote one way or the other. Next slide, please. So how did we get here today? Thank you. Excellent. Measure A-20. So in March of 2020, we placed the same measure that you're going to see in June 2022, exact same measure was on the ballot. What was the result? Well, it came 10 votes short of the required two-thirds requirement to pass in March 2020. So what did that indicate to us? It indicated that over 66% of the community voted in favor of that special tax, $180 per year or $15 a month on the property tax, in order to fully fund Five Cities Fire here at the Oceano Fire Station to keep it open 24/7. So because it was so close, and if you'll remember what else happened in March of 2020, COVID-19 hit, didn't it? So there was a lot of uncertainty about that pandemic that happened. And so because it was such a close vote and because of the uncertainty relating to COVID-19 and what would be the impact to fire, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano decided that, well, let's try to come up with a solution to push this down the road, because what we told the community in 2020 was if it didn't pass, Oceano would no longer be part of Five Cities Fire. And that didn't happen because we're still part of Five Cities Fire. But what we decided to do was freeze the funding at the levels that they were in 2020. But what that meant was we had to take out of our bank account, out of our reserves, dip into reserves a little bit to fund fire service for the last 2 years. And we wanted to give the community one more chance to decide whether they wanted to fully fund fire service here in Oceano. So that's why we're here again in 2022 asking the same question. So what has been the operational impact since March of 2020? And that's where I'm going to turn it over to Battalion Chief Salcy, and he can kind of give us an idea of what's happened with fire operations since March of 2020.
Maybe put the lights back on.
I talk loud, so.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, good afternoon. My name is Brian Salcy. I'm one of the battalion chiefs for the Five Cities Fire Authority. Excuse me, so what I'll do is I'll go over some talking points, if that works, kind of point out where we were, where we are today, just the impacts of the measure failing. So I'll start out with some of the basic stuff here, but what is the Five Cities Fire Authority? Five Cities Fire Authority is Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach, the three communities. And we were originally a volunteer fire departments, and we transitioned into all-risk response organizations in the early 2000s. We began working on the consolidation, the Five Cities Fire Authority's Joint Powers Agreement in 2009 and launched it in 2010, providing fire services and emergency response to the three communities. The three communities are our area. A lot of you are very familiar with it and more so probably with Oceano, but we make up 10 square miles with a population of 38,000 people. We do have three fire stations, one in each community. The efficiencies with the consolidation came in depth and response capabilities, multiple units all trained the same way. So previously, when we were three separate communities, we would all train most of the time separate. At times, we would get together and train, but that meant we were all doing things differently. When we do have a traffic collision or a structure fire, any major emergency, it takes more than one fire engine with two or three people. So when we would all come together, we were doing things a little differently. And so a lot of that was, a lot of that joint training was driven by the people on the floor and saw the benefit of it. And again, all these little pieces pushed us towards the consolidation. It also took away the border communities. In other words, if we had a call at Oak Park and Grand instead of Arroyo Grande responding, we got rid of some of those borders, and the Grover Beach station could respond there, obviously far quicker than the Arroyo Grande station. And then we shared administrative and operational costs. Understanding prior to the consolidation, we had three fire chiefs, so we were paying three fire chiefs one at each station. When we consolidated, we ended up obviously with one fire chief, so we were able to. There was a lot of savings there, and not just the savings from the budget standpoint, but also it was cleaner. We had one chief managing those people and pushing down that one way to do things, the training and all of that. And then obviously cost. We, instead of buying 2 5-gallon buckets of foam that we put in our fire engine, we are now buying a pallet or a 55-gallon drum. So we were able to cut expenses there. Next talking point, and I'm just touching on a lot of this stuff. Obviously, there's a lot more with each of these. But how many calls does the Five Cities Fire Authority respond to? How many of them are in Oceano? So our call volume has increased annually 3-4%. I know COVID absolutely impacted some of our overall increase, but that 3-4% we've seen even prior to COVID, the impact of COVID. I think what happened with COVID is our call volume probably went up a little, but it dropped maybe in some other areas, and I don't have statistics to support this. We just knew day to day what was happening, right? You guys saw a lot of people staying at home, so maybe our traffic collisions went down because the roads were a little more empty, but then our medical response went up because of COVID and whatnot. So again, we've seen that steady increase 3-4% annually. In 2021, we ran 4,154 calls. So we are the third busiest department in the county for a municipal department, San Luis City first, Paso Robles, and then the Five Cities Fire Authority. Of those calls in Oceano, 631 of those calls were in Oceano. And that is, just so everyone understands, that's 58% of those are EMS, so emergency medical calls. 33% public service, so people that have fallen or had a faulty detector, that sort of thing. 3% fires, 3% hazardous conditions, and then we get into 2% for false alarms and 1% for other. So where we're at today, what's transpired primarily over the last year, I guess we could look at. We had a reserve firefighter program that a lot of people are aware of, some are not. What does that mean? A reserve firefighter program is people within the community that are now today, prior when we had volunteers, we had a different level of expectations or training, but with our reserve program, they essentially had the same requirements as a full-time career employee, but they weren't bound to certain hours or whatnot. We had most of the reserves had full-time jobs elsewhere, so we had to work with them, and it got to a point where we were very grateful for them being available to work any shifts they could or any hours they could. We essentially took what we could get in way of hours. Our final reserve retired this past week. It was a very emotional week, saying goodbye for now to Paul Collada. But he has retired and will be doing so from his full-time employment at another fire department here in the county as well. With that final reserve retiring, what the impact that has immediately had is Oceano Station 3 for us, for the Five Cities Fire Authority, is now closed on that shift. So we went from being closed 2 days out of six, and now we'll be closed 4 days out of six. What we do is we run three shifts, an A, B, and C shift. Each shift is 48 hours. So now we will be closed four of those days out of the six. This is the reserve program essentially dissolving is not unique to Oceano. This is something we've experienced over the years in the fire service, elsewhere in the county. If you scratch the surface, you'll see Pismo's experiences, Cambria, I believe Morro Bay is going through similar issues. So it's just becoming harder and harder for people to work a full-time job and work as a reserve firefighter. Again, with all of the training and requirements, they're no different for a reserve or a volunteer for that matter, with OSHA and NFPA and all the boards that manage us or look at what we're doing. So same training requirements, same everything. Let's see, where are we at here? So FCFA strategic plan resulted in prioritization and transition from reserve to career firefighter positions. Again, the lack of candidates is primarily what drove that. And again, like I said, we couldn't hold people to that. So when we go out of county on fires, we send a crew out and we backfill with our full-time people. We can hold them. We can tell them, sorry, you're not going home today like you thought you were. You're actually working. Where the reserve, I'm going to the beach. Not that they did that, because we had very dedicated reserves that did a lot to help us, but they had that option. So typically it was they're going to their other job or whatnot. So again, there was multiple reasons the reserve program was just not sustainable. So Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach stations completed the 2017 strategic plan. That simply means they were able to fund the full-time position. So at the Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande station, we do have full-time captain, engineer, and firefighter. Oceano could not afford their portion of the final transition, led to need for a revenue measure. So that's kind of what brought us to the 822 initially. And I know, again, we've discussed multiple other areas that have passed these measures and the impact it's had. So let's see here. So just kind of some of the things that, again, have impacted us. We talked about the retired last reserve firefighter that's retired. We did create a fire engineer position in last fiscal year, 2021-22, using fund balance to minimize station closures. So what had happened months ago is we had two of the shifts open. We had firefighter Collada, and then we had another firefighter, Hensley, who was a reserve. Firefighter Hensley, when we had a full-time opening, was picked up as a full-time employee. That moved him into one of the full-time seats at one of the other two stations. So what we did at that point, because we would have then been back to where we are today, 2 days out of the six, so that's when the fire chief and board members went into our savings, our fund balance, and created an engineer position here. So that is our final shift that's open currently. We found the money to hire one engineer for this, for Station 3, again, as we call it. But now we're back to where we were with that one day, and we've kind of just ran out of those options or people to move around. On the ongoing need for apparatus equipment and facility maintenance, again, going over our notes here, what we have coming up in the future, Type 1 fire engine, $800,000, a ladder truck, $2.3 million, temporary crew resident needs replacement, and then just our ongoing cost, protective equipment, radios, computers, breathing apparatus, saws, extrication equipment. Back many years ago, we could do a lot more with holding on to equipment or getting hand-me-downs from other organizations, and a lot of that has gone away. It's probably a good thing, but it obviously the impact on the budget is substantial. But what's happened is OSHA and all the other people that try to protect us in the working world, they have set a lot more requirements on our turnouts, on our SCBAs that we breathe through, our radios. So there's there's a timeout on everything now, where before there was some wiggle room with that. So I guess what will happen if the measure passes, It'll take a 12-month period to begin collecting full amount of revenue, and I can't speak to this as well as you can, but the funding would pay for 24-hour day, 7-day a week, 365 days a year, with a captain, a fire engineer, and a firefighter. And then it would provide additional funding for operational costs, the equipment and apparatus replacement, the administration support. And then I don't know if you want me to get into the wind down. Or
I think that's good.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
So I think that was a good detailed analysis of kind of what happened because that funding was not passed in 2020. I think you can see the impact. Basically, it boils down to we can't keep this station open 24/7. And now it's down to, as he showed, one third of the time it's open. So, and we'll talk about that a little bit at the end. When it comes down, what does the decision boil down to? Next slide, please. So what exactly is a special tax? And it's really in the law of California. These propositions have been established that whether or not to approve additional taxes comes down to voters and whether they decide, and it's a very high bar. It's two-thirds requirement. So some people say, well, why doesn't majority rule? Well, that's how the California laws are written, that if it's a new tax, it takes two-thirds requirement. It's interesting, though, that that's not true in all cases. If a citizen's initiative comes on the ballot, it only requires 50% plus one. So if there's a group of citizens that wants to put a tax on the ballot, there's a lower bar. But if it's us as a governmental agency putting it on the ballot, then it requires the two-thirds. And that's why this is our governmental agency asking the voters for more money. That's why it requires two-thirds. Next slide, please. So this is the language that you're going to see on your ballot. So basically, in order to maintain rapid response times for 911 medical emergency and fire protection services to provide 24-hour a day, 7-day a week staff medical emergency and fire vehicles, shall Oceano Community Services District Ordinance Number 2022-1 levying an annual special tax of $180 per parcel, providing $410,760 a year, subject to annual maximum increases capped at 2% until repealed by voters, and requiring independent citizen oversight and annual reports be adopted. Thank you. So, what does that mean? The special tax is $180 per parcel for the first year. It can only increase 2% a year. The first year, it's estimated to bring in $410,000, a little over $410,000, and it requires that this independent citizen oversight committee be formed to make sure that it's only spent on fire service. So that's what the ballot measure is. Next slide, please. So why a special tax? Why don't we try to fund it some other way? Well, this is where a community service district is much different than a city. Cities have a lot more variety of taxes that they can pursue to fund their services. Cities can have sales tax. CSDs can't have a sales tax. Cities can have cannabis tax. Grover Beach has a cannabis tax. CSDs can't have a cannabis tax. So we're very limited in the types of revenue that we can raise. So basically, the only type of revenue we can raise for fire service is a property tax. So that's why a special tax. It's a form of property tax. Next slide, please. So what happens in June if it passes or if it doesn't pass? So in order for us to continue to be a part of Five Cities Fire Authority, so just like we said back in 2020, we have to approve this measure. And this is going to be the last time. So even if we come up 10 votes short again, we can't continue to dip into our bank account because the bank account's been going down. So I think twice is a fair amount of times to give the community a choice to whether they want to fund this fire service. So in order to keep being part of Five Cities Fire, we have to pass, or the community has to pass, Measure A22. If it isn't approved, then in our contract with with Arroyo Grande and Grover as part of that JPA, on June 30th, 2023, Oceano will cease becoming a member of the Five Cities Fire, and we will have to determine how to provide fire service in Oceano some other way. Next slide. So, what options exist if it's approved? So, if it's approved, for the most part, we probably will continue to stick with Five Cities Fire because we'll have the funding to keep Oceano Station open 24/7. That doesn't mean we have to stick with Five Cities Fire forever. There may be times when Arroyo Grande or Grover, they want to spend a whole bunch of money on things that Oceano doesn't. We could form our own, go back to our own independent fire station at some point in the future if we want. If this revenue measure is passed, that would give us a greater ability to do that. I wouldn't say it would be the best ability, but we'd have a greater ability to have our own fire station. But as Battalion Chief pointed out, there's certainly benefits to going in with Grover and Arroyo Grande because you don't have to pay your own fire chief. You can share a fire chief, share administrative costs, share equipment and material costs. But if this measure is passed, we'll be less reliant on those other agencies to provide fire service in Oceano. If it's not approved, then what are our options? Well, we know we're not going to be a part of Five Cities Fire, so we can do one of two things. We can give up our fire powers as a community, and what does that mean? It means we divest of that power through the LAFCO process, the Local Area Formation Commission. And then a successor agency would have to be named, and since we're an unincorporated area of the county, most likely that successor agency would be the County of San Luis Obispo, who uses CAL FIRE to provide fire service to the unincorporated areas. If we divest of that service, then we go through a negotiation process with the county on how much of our property tax that we currently get to fund fire we will turn over to the county. And then they take that funding stream and say, okay, this is how much service we can provide you. And as part of our board packet, we have a letter from the county that says, with the existing revenue stream that you have, we can provide fire service 3 days a week. And that's what they've indicated they can provide. That doesn't mean they couldn't provide more if they kicked in more money. But that's going to have to compete with all the other needs throughout the whole county through the budget process that the county has. So that's one option. We could independently contract with Five Cities Fire Authority. So I would say that would probably look a lot like what we have right now. A third of the time, they probably could keep our fire station open. Unless the city of Grover Beach and the city of Arroyo Grande wanted to kick in more money to keep Oceano Station open longer than that. Would they be willing to do that? Maybe. Why do I say maybe? Well, because as was brought out, these three fire stations, Oceano, Grover, and Arroyo Grande, serve all the communities. So the Oceano station goes to Grover and Arroyo Grande over 50% of the time. So they may want another station open to serve their communities. Would they kick in more money to do that? I don't know. So that's the unknown. Or we establish an independent fire department. That's highly unlikely with the little amount of money that we have. $1 million a year is what we currently are have available to spend on fire. Next slide, please. So this is just kind of a further, if it's not approved, the divestiture process goes through LAFCO, and if the county takes over fire, then the county would make future decisions on fire service in Oceano if we went that route. Now, the county did a study in 2018 for all the unincorporated areas, because it's not just Oceano that's facing these issues of funding fire service. It's happening throughout the county. And so they wanted to see, you know, what kind of policies do we need to set so that these communities know what the county's going to do for them. And so it was very clear in their policies that they came up with in 2017 that, listen, communities, we're not going to be your savior. We're not going to come and throw a lot of money at your fire problems for you. That was the message that the Board of Supervisors sent with their policies. So to expect that the county is going to come in, and if I vote no on this measure because I think the county is going to, you know, fully fund fire in Oceano, that's not what the county's policy says. The county policy says they want to minimize the impact to their general fund. So they're going to look to Oceano to see where can they get money to fund fire service. Next slide, please. So they looked in 2018 what it would cost the county to provide fire service, and they estimated it was almost $1.6 million. Well, that was 5 years ago. I think it's closer to probably over $2 million now, based on the letter we got from the county. So how are they going to fund that amount? Well, look at that. This is right out of their policy. It says all potential options for the transfer of assets, facilities, property taxes, and other funding mechanisms from the district to the county to fund the proposed level of service while minimizing any impact to the county general fund. Next slide, please. So what does that mean in numbers? So we have the top line is this station we're sitting in. This is the Oceano Fire Station. Obviously, if the county takes over, they're going to need this fire station, right? So they would take this fire station from the Oceano Community Service District to provide fire service. Well, it just so happens that this is our office for our water, sewer, and garbage operations as well. So if we can't use it for those operations, we're going to have to go find another office somewhere. And that means, you know, we might be paying anywhere $50,000 to $100,000 in rent on an office building somewhere for our staff. Well, what does that mean? That has to be paid from somewhere. It's going to come from the water, sewer, and garbage funds. So that's an impact. We have about $1,050,000 property tax that we can give to the county to provide fire service. We also have $43,000 that we use in property tax to keep the lights on in the streets. We could give that to them, but do you want us to shut your street lights off? I doubt it. So we probably keep that for ourselves. That's not available to go to the county. We also have our garbage franchise that generates about $70,000 a year. We could give that to the county. Well, what does that fund? That funds our illegal garbage pickup. So anytime you see these piles of garbage around Oceano, our staff goes out and picks that up and cleans it up. We could give that money to the county, but I can tell you the county's not going to come and pick up that garbage. The county's going to use that garbage franchise to provide fire service. So do we want to give that to them? Probably not. We're going to probably want to keep our streets clean of illegally dumped garbage. Some have suggested the sheriff's substation next door. We get about $121,000 in revenue from the county to lease that to the county for the sheriff. Some have suggested, well, move your staff over there. Well, do we want to lose $121,000 in revenue and then make the sheriff find another place to have a sheriff substation? I think we probably like having a sheriff substation in Oceano. So we're not going to give that up. So the whole point is, even if we gave all that revenue to the county, that would still only add up to $1.28 million, not even enough to fund fire fully in Oceano. There's still a $275,000 shortfall. So the county would have to look somewhere else to fully fund fire in Oceano. So that's the whole point of this slide, is there needs to be additional funding for fire to come from somewhere. So we need to figure out where that's going to come from, or we keep the fire station open a couple days a week. Next slide. So that's what it comes down to. Together, you as the voters and the elected officials are going to decide ultimately the fire service in Oceano. Next slide. And so what does the decision boil down to for you? What mission do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of Five Cities Fire Authority mission, which encompasses 10 square miles, or do you want to be a part of the county's mission, which is countywide? And so what I mean by that, next slide will kind of illustrate that a little, I think. These are the closest fire stations to Oceano. So Oceano's there in the middle, and the two center stars are the Grover Beach and the Rio Grande Fire Station. The star at the bottom is the Cal Fire Station on the Mesa. The star on the top is the Pismo Beach Cal Fire Station. So if we have Cal Fire here in Oceano, or we have Five Cities Fire here in Oceano, the first call that comes in, there's no difference, right? Cal Fire, Five Cities, they're going to get to you just as quick. Doesn't matter what uniform they're wearing, right? But what about a simultaneous call? So now you have two calls coming in, or three calls coming in at the same time. And I think Battalion Chief Salcy was telling me that they get three calls at the same time 30% of the time. So 30% of the time, there's three calls coming in simultaneously. So with Five Cities Fire, you're getting those second and third calls coming in from those middle two stars in Grover and Arroyo. If it was Cal Fire, they'd be coming in from Pismo and the Mesa, if they're there. Those engines could be in Avila on another call or out, you know, rural Napomo. So that's the real crux of the issue, is the second and third call. Where do you want your fire service coming from, is what it boils down to. And is that worth $180 a year to you? So I think that's really what it boils down to. Do you want the fire station open 24/7? That's another issue. If so, then that's $180 a year. If 2 days a week is fine, then go with what we have now. And with that, that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you.
And we'll open it up if there's any questions from the board first or comments.
Yes, comments and questions from the board.
Excuse me, are we supposed to turn in our vehicles late?
I think we can just, we'll take it as we.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to hear what Mr. Horton has to
say.
That's
what I was going to ask you
before.
Okay.
If Mr. Horton would want to give us of the county or the county position from his perspective. Excuse me.
Good afternoon. Wade Horton, County CAO. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and answer your questions. I thought Mr. Clemens did a really good job of covering down on what the county position is. I really don't have anything to add to my correspondence dated December 2021. I thought Will outlined where the county... Sure. I thought Will outlined really well what our what the county position would be. And I can ask, or I can answer any specific questions you or the community may have. But as far as adding anything to the county position, I think that's been covered.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We'll stand by because I'm sure there'll be individual questions to answer. Yeah.
Is there someone that can answer the question about the insurance? We talked about the insurance rating. Or if we don't have a full-time fire service.
I think
that was something that came up last time.
I think that's addressed in our frequently asked questions. And
that's something that
it's not on the top
up.
Of my head, but I think it's kind of, we don't really know what the impact to insurance rates are, but obviously a fully staffed fire station is better
well,
than...
It has to do with the fire station in close proximity to your, how far away from the home you have a fire station and
yeah.
How often...
I don't think we can specifically
service.
Address what the impact would be, but... Certainly,
it does impact insurance, yeah. I believe, fire insurance on homes.
The only thing I could say is that I have a friend who lives out in, I have a friend who lives out in Wasno, and she has a home and a couple of rentals, and she's trying to find an insurance company because her insurance was canceled. She just got. They just said, no, we're not going to insure you anymore. You live too far from a fire station. And that just happened. She's just negotiating right now, and she's without fire insurance on today.
So I found it in our frequently asked questions. It says the cost of fire insurance is based on a fire suppression rating schedule. 50% of the rating is based on the quality of the fire department, staffing levels, training, and the location of the firehouse. 40% of the rating is based on the water system and location of fire hydrants. 10% of the rating is based on the quality of the local 911 emergency communication system, and an extra 5.5% can come from a community outreach, including fire prevention and safety courses. It's not known whether the cost of fire insurance will increase or decrease based on the results of the special tax vote.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
I was thinking about the option of independently contracting with Five Cities Fire. If we go that option, how much would it would we need an increase in the future of taxes? Like if we keep it the way it is now, because I think our response time is pretty good, even if it's coming from Rio Grande or Gover Beach.
So the option for independently contracting would only be pursued if the measure fails. And so we would just contract with them for the amount of money that we currently have. And they would we would negotiate with them on here's how much money we have. What can you provide for us? So yes. We'd have to weigh that versus what can the county provide for us and
well,
make that decision.
I'm very satisfied with every time I've called for emergency services throughout the years, and it's been various times, and they're pretty good, you know, showing up. It seems like every minute seems like an hour. So in reality, just keeping them as the response time as low as possible. And I would like to hear what the Wade Horton, our county representative, says about the response time, what you would think the average response time would be here in Oceano, especially because we're like a retirement community here in the Five Cities, and especially here in Oceano. We have a lot of people, elderly and disabled individuals.
So I think the response time was addressed in that county report they did in 2018. And it indicated that the response time from Napomo and Pismo was over 8 minutes to the edges of Napomo. So that's not even to the center, but to get to the edges, which is longer than their standards that they like to meet for an urban area. And so that's why they would staff this station in Oceano. So they wouldn't just serve Oceano from Pismo and the Mesa, but they would want a presence in Oceano.
Okay, so they would be 24/7. So now,
but that doesn't guarantee 24/7. That just guarantees a presence.
Okay.
Well, and the one other thing that Ms. Villa has forgotten is that in a future negotiation to contract, so to speak, with Arroyo Grande and Grover, that assumes that Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach want us. Because I think they're going to look at that point, they're going to be looking at additional costs that they're going to have to come up with as a part of that. So it assumes, you know, and politically we know the challenges of negotiating with our neighborly friends. And right now we're a part of that, but we would be the stepchild. And so who knows what we would get from, I mean, there's no deal. There's no deal on the table to negotiate. Thank you. Okay, we want to start with questions from the audience? Or comments and questions? Everybody, you have 3 minutes. We have this little lighting system to let you know. Green, go, yellow.
Sorry. President White, the timer isn't working, so I'll just use my phone if that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And who would like to be first? Lucia, you want to start out? No.
Why not? Well, first of all, hello, everyone. Thank you very much for allowing us. Remind you that I can't hear, and I still see that some of you don't speak loud enough or don't speak close enough to the microphone. Please help me out by doing that. I just have a couple of questions. I do understand that during the last 2 years, the Oceano Fire Station didn't function at its full-time capacity, right? So I would like to know what that meant to our people. Did people die more than before? Did people, how was people impacted? I'm sure you can't answer to it right now, but compared to other years, when it was full-time, did people do better, people that were serviced? I don't know. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. Thank you. Yeah. So I would like that answer. Not right now, but you can forward it to the Oceano Beach Community Association, please. The other question is, I would like also to know how many of those approximately 600 calls a year go out to the Oceano Beach and Dunes. So I don't know if you can answer that right now, but I would like that answer too. The other general question is that I basically agree with paying money for to have fire. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't feel right about having it by parcel because I know that there are people who have more than one home on a parcel, and I know other people who have no homes on a parcel, so there is no equity. I know it is difficult for the county to count how many square feet or how many exactly homes are there around, but we should not choose the easiest way to do things. I think that we, the county and us, should wait and do what we can to get a fair assessment of square footage and homes to make sure that everybody pays equitably to his or her property. Thank you.
Any other questions and comments? Perry? Oh, I got somebody else. Yes, come forward and introduce yourself, please.
Hey, my name is Jim Easton. I live out here on Oceano Beach. And just listening to this, I came up with more questions than you have time to answer right now. Okay, my name is Jim Easton, and I live out here on Oceano Beach. I've lived out here for 4 years now. But listening to everything that's going on here, I have more questions than I think you'd want to answer in a long time. For instance, you know, one of the things you told us about was that, you know, if you get one call, if you get two simultaneous calls, you can handle that pretty easily. It becomes a problem when it becomes three simultaneous calls, right? Which one do you go to? My question is, how often does that happen? I mean, there's a, you know, it's a risk analysis thing, and when it comes to risk analysis, you reach a point where you keep spending more and more money to reduce ever smaller or decreasing amount of risk. So you have to decide somewhere along the way what levels of risk you're going to accept, and that's why I ask, how often do you see this thing? I agree with you. We're paying a per parcel fee. I just rode up and down Cienega yesterday, the day before, and I counted five trailer parks out there, each one with over 100 lots. Now, I understand those are probably four or five parcels involved in those trailer parks, which means each one of those people in the trailers are going to be paying, what, $1.80 a year? While the residents who own property here are going to be paying $180 a year, that's subsidizing the people in the trailer parks. I don't think that's fair. My neighbors are people who visit here on weekends and vacation here, and they own the property, and they pay the taxes, but they're not getting to vote in this. That's not fair. Other communities have used parcel usage tax. I think Los Osos is one. And if I'm not mistaken, their annual assessment came to for the people based on parcel use for the average family was $13 a year or $14 a year, somewhere in that range. Yet we're being asked to pay $180 a year. I think we need to look into this a little more. This I can't come out in support of this as it stands right now. So, you know, I have many more questions, but I'll let it go with that.
Thank you. Perry?
Hmm.
My name is Perry Peterson. I live in Halcyon. And I just have one question, and it is, as an informed voter, I don't know what I'll get if this measure fails. It might be $2.2 million a year if it goes to the, if we contract with the county and you haven't got the money. There's no plan in place to clue me in as to what the problem will be if this doesn't pass. And I know it's complicated, but we've had 2 years to come up with a plan, and it hasn't happened. So now my choice is vote for the $180 per parcel, or not vote for it, but not know what I'm going to get. And I guess that's about the whole. Plus, Karen White's heard this 1,000 times. Fortunately, she's my friend.
Thank you. Now's your chance. Come on forward.
Charles Varney, Oceana resident. It's been said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and expecting a different outcome. And the four of you voted to do the same thing again, even though you got advised and counseled to have a fair, equitable tax. And you had the option to charge people 14 cents a square foot for their square footage of their homes on their properties, but you chose not to. Most people in Oceano probably live in a domicile that's less than 1,000 square feet. A 1,000 square foot house at 14 cents a square foot would pay $140 a year for the, this is being called a fire tax. It's really not a fire tax, it's an emergency medical service tax. I just heard this gentleman say only 3% of the calls from Oceano Fire Department are for fires. 3%. And we're rolling $800,000 trucks and pieces of equipment to go out to, you know, help pick somebody up and paying for that. That seems, I mean, this whole system sounds broken. I would like to know what the data is on how many people have died or had worsened medical conditions, because the calls have been late over the last 2 years when we haven't had full service. I'd like to know how that this extra tax that you're asking for is going to allow us to have a station open 24/7, where with all the money we're paying now, it's only open 2 days. That doesn't add up in my mind. What other properties does OCSD own that they can move into? Isn't there, you own the old fire department building over here? You own the Oceano Depot? I don't know what other property Oceano owns. Can they relocate there? Can't water and sewage rates be raised to support the office requirements of the OCSD? The county got last year $660,000 in transient occupancy taxes. They take those from Oceano to the county. How about the county spend some of that $660,000 and support fire services in our community? And I think that with that, I conclude my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Gina, and I am a resident of Oceano. Also, my father owns a home here in Oceano, who's a retired veteran, who depends on quick, speedy service for his health problems due to serving in Vietnam and getting hit with Agent Orange and only having one lung. And we've used the service several times to save his life. To me, as a community, I believe that we come together, and I believe nothing but that if it comes to a life, I don't think you could put a price on it. And I believe that my neighbor, as a small community and a caring person, would pay $180 to save my dad's life. He gave his life and is still giving his life for his country. I understand that this could be, hard on some, but, it's going to come from somewhere. I mean, I heard somebody say that to have the water company take over some money to help compensate for a building or something like that, well, then it's going to affect the water. So there's never a perfect answer in anything, and you're never going to please everybody. That's just the way the world is. And I hope that there's a great income. I am behind this 100%. I believe that it will work out as everything does in the world. And I hope that we can do this gracefully and get a good support system behind this and take care of our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Hello, I'm Kathy. I live at Cienega Seabreeze. I was listening to this gentleman talking about the mobile homes. Does the parcel tax exclude the mobile homes? Or is it only on residences? That would be my question.
Next, anyone else?
Hey, I'm Mike Sherdall, and I'm a resident. You know, I approve of this. I know money, what the situation, I'm going to try to speak the best I can. And like she says, life doesn't matter. You know, I have a scanner at home, and I always listen to it. And I'm the one that has medical condition, too. I have heart problems. I have seizures. And they were always on time. And they came and helped and saved my life a couple of times. And because of, like you said, what if we had CDF and I was going through a heart attack or somebody was dying and they had to come all the way from Shell Beach and all the way from there? There's a life that could be in danger that's so precious to this community. So we should turn around and work together in the situation of funding. Because, and that way, what happens is the fire department, they all know me because they all come from all agencies because I've been in this Quinn community for 20 years. And that way, these fire department will know you, who you are, and they know how to treat you. And so why should we get a strange one in here, and then all of a sudden, they don't know nothing about us and how they can help us? So we need to work together. It's called about working together in the community. And like I say in my church, you know, we got to work together. And I said, if you take a broom in your hand, and turn around and try with one finger. Is that going to work? No. And the more fingers you put together, the stronger it is. And I think that's why we should work together as a community to keep this fire department together, because they know who we are and we've been a community together. And I'm just saying, because my mother-in-law, she used to be in that convalescent home over here. And when Grover couldn't go there, Oceana went right there. They're close by. They didn't go by, and they saved my mother-in-law from having a heart attack and dying. And see, I see that all the time where Oceano always responded. And like I said, life is precious. We shouldn't worry about the money. I know I'm a renter, but what's $15 a month just to help, especially to save somebody's life in our community and to keep us as a community? Because if we're not going to keep each other's community, we're just going to fall apart and everybody's going to leave. And I say another thing is, you know, I talk to people that where I help on the beach. They don't even know about the taxes because they live in Bakersfield. They live here, but they have homes. And, you know, we got to contact them to know that they need, if they want to help, because those houses are precious. The houses, I'm saying, because there was a fire there. There was like 3 fires so far. So fire is precious. You guys got to them real quickly and stopped the other house from catching on fire. You know, if we had to wait for CDF to come from Shell Beach or up there, another house could be just burnt down like that. And then there's another money to put out for this family. They're going to get a call from Bakersfield. Oh, I'm sorry, but your house burnt down. So that's why we should have this community work together with the same fire department or Grandy Oceano. That way we all have our houses being saved and our lives being saved. And that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
I wasn't going to stand up because I'm kind of shy. Can you hear me? Anyway.
Name.
I am going to.
I need your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mary Wagoner. And I have to say, I agree with the gentleman that just spoke. What he said covers it all. And I think we all need to think about what he has just presented to us. It is something that we need to think about because, hey, I'm in my 70s. I don't think I'm worried about it. But you know what? I don't know. None of us know when we are going to get hit. We need this protection. And I hope that we can all vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. You had a turn. Anybody else? Okay, I guess, Mr. Clemens, if you'd like.
I just wanted to say something. I agree with these people that, you know, that we need to have adequate, you know, services for the elderly. Monty Mitchell.
Thank you.
I agree with them totally, wholeheartedly, but are we getting there? Is the system broken, you know? I mean, is there a better way? Have we done any kind of comprehensive analysis, you know, spreadsheets or whatever on us being isolated from these other communities, you know, on our own? Because it seems like to me, like, from the, and I don't know enough about it, I haven't researched it enough, but it seems like we're used a lot for, you know, for our tax, you know, or for the money that we, you know, from our property taxes. I know we're unincorporated, but is there any kind of research that we can look at to see how we would do on our own versus, you know, being a part of this, you know, with Grover Beach and Aurora Grande, you know, the other communities. Is there an answer for that? Or?
I think he's working.
Okay.
He's going to answer all the questions here. Or we're okay. Going to get all an right. Answer. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Mr. Clemens, you want to start down the list?
Sure.
And maybe Mr. Horton, if he can answer some too.
Yes, thank you. So I'm going to try to answer the questions that were asked. There were some questions on, you know, did people die because our station was closed part of the time? And I don't really think that question can be answered.
Quiet, please. Audience, please.
I think what we can answer is, well, how is the community served when the station is closed? So we have three stations, one in Oceano, one in Grover, and one in Arroyo Grande. And so the way it always works, even when all three are staffed, is when there's a call, there's a GPS on each one of those engines, that, and so the closest engine that's available is the one that is assigned to the call. So it doesn't matter necessarily about the location of the station, but the availability of the crew and their engine. So whoever's closest is the one that's going to go to that call. So when our station is closed, then it's going to be the same way Oceano's going to get served from the closest available engine, either in Grover or Arroyo Grande. So that's how we're being served when our station's closed. Then there was a question on how many calls are three at a time simultaneous, and I think I had mentioned that it was 30% of the time there's three calls simultaneously. So that's pretty significant amount. So right now, if there was three stations, three crews 24/7, we'd be able to respond to three calls at the same time in Five Cities Fire. We can't do that when our station is closed. So that was one question. Then there was a question on the parcel, some related to the parcel tax. Why was the 180 per parcel chosen rather than a square footage of the building? And that was looked at, and the pros and cons were discussed at our board meeting in December at several board meetings. We had a consultant come up with various options, and the square footage for the buildings, you cannot include vacant parcels. So any vacant parcels in Oceana wouldn't pay the special tax. So that was one drawback to the square footage approach. The other drawback is there was a question relating to the mobile home. So how a mobile home park is taxed under the per parcel tax is, yeah, they're getting a break because maybe the mobile home park has three or four parcels total, and there's 50 mobile homes on it. So they're getting three charges, and that's going to be split up between those mobile home parks. Well, why was that chosen? Well, under the square footage approach, apartment buildings would be taxed a lot higher, and each mobile home would be taxed. So the board believed that our lower income families live in apartments and fixed income families live in our mobile home parks. So that's why they chose not to go the square footage approach and hit them harder. So that's why the parcel tax was chosen, or one of the reasons. So hopefully that answers why. And then I'll let President White, you know, there was some comments on not being fair. I'll let you talk about that at the end. You have some comments on taxes and being fair. let's see. There was questions on how many calls go to the beach and the dunes, and I will have Battalion Chief Salcy answer that, but I believe we don't go to the riding area of the beach, but there is a small section that is in our service area. Yeah, go right up here.
So we no longer go to the beach for the state covers all of the ATV stuff on the beach. We still go to the beach for a vegetation fire. We'll access that from the beach, so you'll see us sometimes in our UTV or the patrol or the Type 3, our brush engine, to get out and access that brush. But as far as traffic collisions or incidents like that, we do not go. We could be requested by way of mutual aid, but it's rare, if ever, that I can think of recently. I can think of a few times, but we could end up there if Cal Fire was not able to respond and they were in need of us doing that. But it is no longer our response area. Even the fires down there were part of an auto aid agreement with the state where we respond there as part of auto aid.
When did that change?
It has been, I want to say, close to 5 years. At least, I'm being
at least
prompted. Yeah. So.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. And then there was questions on what other properties do we own that we could move into as staff if we weren't able to utilize this building for our office staff. Yes, we own the old fire station down here on the corner, but if you've been in it, It was built in what year, Linda?
1954.
And it's certainly not up to current codes.
It's a garage.
It's basically a garage, and it would take a lot of, you know, we could move into that building, but it would take a lot of capital improvements. And certainly that would be one of the things we look at, is utilizing our property. We do not own the depot. We own the property, but not the depot. And those are the only properties that we could, you know, without building another building, move into, other than the sheriff's station, which I think we discussed. It would be much more cost-effective to rent an apartment, or not an apartment, but an office space. Some other questions. Has there been research about going back to a standalone fire department? And that was done before I got here. The first time they had the special tax election, because we used to be a standalone fire department. So they looked at, well, we'd have to go back to having our own fire chief, captain, firefighters, and the cost of those full-time firefighters would exceed what we currently have in our, you know, $1 million a year, plus all the equipment, as was mentioned, you know, $2.3 million for a ladder truck, $800,000 for an engine. We'd probably just get an engine. So cost-wise, it would be very cost-prohibitive to go back to a standalone fire station. We could do it, but we wouldn't be open any more than we're open today, probably. What other questions do we have on here? Transient occupancy tax was asked about giving that to our CSD, and I'll turn that over to our CAO to answer.
Thank you, Wade Horton, CAO. So with TOT, all TOT that's regardless of where it's generated goes to our general fund, and that TOT and via the general fund helps serve countywide services such as sheriff, DA, probation, behavioral health, public health, any general fund. It goes in the general fund pot and is distributed from there. So we don't take TOT and look at where its or origination point is and then focus those dollars just back to that area. It provides a countywide benefit for all county residents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Horton.
And then there was, I think this is the last question that I'm going to answer. It was a kind of a comment. We don't know what we'll get if it doesn't pass, and that's true. You know what you'll get if it passes. You'll get a fire station that's open 24/7. You don't know what you'll get if it doesn't pass, because we're not there yet. So there's no, that's a theoretical position that, you know, the county would never say, oh, well, let's try to figure out what will happen if Oceano's tax doesn't pass. It's got, I don't know how they made it through COVID and everything that they had to do with COVID, but they're not going to spend their time on hypothetical things that could happen in a community. That's just not going, that's not where they're going to spend their time. So we address issues that come up when they come up. We're not going to spend time on hypothetical issues that could happen in the future. And I think that's the best way we can answer that question. So the last thing I'll leave is your comments on taxes and being fair.
Okay.
Can I give a comment first before
Let them do comments. But let me make one little comment. We talked about the sheriff's station. The only Oceano Community Service District borrowed from its own funds to build the fire station. And yearly, we've been using the rent and revenue from that fire station to pay off the fire station. And I think next year, 2023 or 2024, the fire station will be paid off. It will be a building that the Oceana community, through its ingenuity, built, and it has revenue, and it keeps the sheriff's department right here in the middle of Oceano. They work out of here for, they go to Napomo, but they work from Oceano. It's benefited the Oceano community in having the sheriff's close. So I wanted to say that once it's paid off, that revenue will go to our facilities fund, right?
It's going to be paid off July 1st of this year.
Oh, and it will go to facilities fund, which is a revenue pot that we can use for facilities. It's a pot of money we also get when a new subdivision is put in. They have to put money into our facilities funds, and it pays for things like new fire stations. It pays for things like those kind of buildings for the community. So to see the rent from that fire station go to anything but the facilities fund has always been an issue for me. Thank you.
Quick question, please.
Yes, Charles.
Did you say that the rent that you get from the sheriff's department pays for the fire department?
No.
No.
No, it pays for facilities for the community. It could build a fire station.
Okay.
It could build, I don't know, if we have recreation powers, it might could build a park. I'm just saying, no, it's not for, it is not allowed to be used for services. It's for actual structures. Thank you. Okay, Lucia.
Is the money coming up from the tax going to be paying the salaries of the three people working in this fire station?
Yes.
Yeah. Firemen. That's what it pays for, is the firemen. Yeah.
Salaries.
Well, yeah. Pays to hire firefighters. Real quick.
You said that these buildings will be paid for in July.
No, next door.
The sheriff's.
Next door building. Yeah.
How much money are we paying now? How much money are we talking about?
So that we're kind of getting off topic here.
I know.
That money's available for fire.
No, it's only available to build facilities.
Okay.
It's a facilities fund. In a community service district, the funds are all separated. Otherwise, the water...
Yeah. So
the water is for water, the sewer is for sewer, facilities are for facilities.
So I don't know if you've seen where our firemen sleep here in this temporary mobile home in the parking lot, but when that's paid off in July, we could do something about that. Yes. We can use that for facilities, yes.
Hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
One more. This is the last one.
Do you know how much Oceana has grown in the last couple years as far as population? I know that we're coming up and there's new buildings being built, more people coming in because of the housing shortage. I know we want Oceana to strive. I'm just saying there'll be more people.
Off topic, yeah. Check the census.
The census says actually we have gone down.
Yeah. I'll answer that question and then no more. The census shows that we've lost a few people. We're holding about even. And you know, but that doesn't count the people that they counted in Bakersfield. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to get right just real quick on the
you guys.
CAL FIRE and the Five Cities Fire Authority with the calls that go to the beach. And I just want to know if we did go with the county and CAL FIRE was in this station, would this be the station that all the calls to the beach would go out of?
I would assume so.
And if CAL FIRE is on the beach, there won't be a station here for it. There won't be an engine in here for our...
Currently, CAL FIRE serves the beach from the Napomo Mesa, assuming it's available. But if they're in Oceano, I'm assuming they would serve the beach from Oceano. But okay. I can't speak for CAL FIRE, so.
Shirley?
Yeah, I had some questions for Mr. Horton. And do you want me to give them all and then you can answer, or?
We can go one at a time.
Pardon?
We can go one at a time.
Okay. So, so if we are with CAL FIRE and our assets are not enough to cover the funding for Oceano, so does that mean that we will just receive a lower level of service?
That'll be part of the negotiation, of what Oceano can afford, and then what ultimately the board wants to decide on the level of service to provide Oceano residents. One thing I want to note is this year we just completed our budget, and we'll be taking that to the board in June. We had to close a $12 million gap this year, the county, a general fund gap. And it's projected that there'll be another gap the following year. We're looking at, we're entering a what we call pain plan, where we're, how we can close sequential gaps, leveraging service efficiency, and also using our reserves to do that, so we can still provide the maximum services to our the community as a whole. But at the same time, by state code, we have to balance the budget every year. So when it looks as if Will is right, if Oceano does decide to go to LAFCO because the county becomes a successor agency, that priority of providing fire to Oceano residents, that's going to have to compete with all the other priorities that's taking place in the county, and the board is going to have to make a decision and balance out all the needs throughout the county.
Right, and so basically, with Five Cities Fire, we have local control, and with CAL FIRE, someone else is going to decide what happens.
Yes, if the county were to assume fire service over Oceano, the Board of Supervisors would be making the decisions.
And then I think it would be helpful if the county could give residents like a hard number for cost comparison. Now, I know you can't do that, but I'm wondering if you could give a brief explanation why that is so hard. And then also, what's your cell phone number when people don't believe us that the county doesn't have a hard number?
I can give you my office number, which is 805-781-5018. Per my letter on December 17th, with the tax revenue available, as Will briefed, of approximately $1 million, that would fund 3 24-hour days per week. The reason why we're not going to look at what the county would provide Oceano right now, because it matters. It's the priorities of the moment. And right now, fire service belongs to Oceano Community Services District. It's the community that's going to decide whether or not they wish to pass this tax measure. If they don't, and OCSD decides to divest their fire powers, then that's the appropriate time to come to the table with the priorities currently at place in the county for the board to make a decision on what that level of service is going to be, with considering the revenue that is available from Oceano. So it would be premature to do that right now. And we wouldn't be able to do that right now because priorities change. Will mentioned COVID. 3 years ago, no one thought that we'd be dealing with a COVID situation, and look at the funding that required to take care of that. So the county will negotiate with LAFCO and OCSD if the county is determined to be the successor agency at the time that decision is made by OCSD.
Right. So I think that's important for the residents to keep in mind, that you're not going to know a number until it happens. Now, would that, when you come up with that cost, would that remain the same year to year, or would that be adjusted?
We negotiate, I believe it's a three-year contract with CAL FIRE. We're actually in the process of negotiating that contract right now.
Okay, so every 3 years it could probably go up.
I believe it's 3 years, but I don't have. I'm not absolutely certain. But periodically, we do negotiate our contract with CAL FIRE.
Right, and chances are it'll never go down. It probably will go up. So that's another.
There's always wishful thinking that it'll go down, but
yeah.
I don't anticipate that.
And we're waiting for the clams to come back too. So. Okay, now, does CAL FIRE track their statistics, like number of calls, and then where other trucks were when calls came in? Is there anything like that to look at?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and how would we get that?
If you have specific information or time frames that you'd like some information on,
yeah.
Will can shoot that to me, and we can try to get that for him.
Okay. Because I think simultaneous calls aren't the only issue. I mean, I know last year Pismo had a call, and the closest truck at that point was out in the Wasna. So if trucks are already out at the station, you know.
Yeah, I know that CAL FIRE and Five Cities Fire, they do use mutual aid and try to provide the most protection that they can to all county residents. Regardless of where that residence is located. However, if there's a mass casualty event or a large accident or something that's happening out far removed from in the unincorporated area, that could be a problem.
Yeah. And then I think my last question is really, for the South County, Oceano, Avila, and the Mesa are basically the three stations, right?
Yeah.
Everything else is north of San Luis, correct?
There's also a CAL FIRE station in Old Town and Pomo too, off Taft.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think that you've answered all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I just had a couple other comments, or actually just one. Now, as I understand it, if there's a fire anywhere, Five Cities Fire Authority and CAL FIRE show up. You know, that's just how fires are. But if there's a medical emergency, we won't necessarily receive mutual aid. If we're with CAL FIRE, we wouldn't get mutual aid with Arroyo Grover at that point. Is that correct, Mr. Clemens?
You'd have to ask Five Cities Fire. I don't know the operations.
Yes.
Yeah, so typically, you're correct. When we, it's sometimes hard to explain or odd for anyone to understand, but with the medical side of it, we typically, unless a CAL FIRE unit would be out of position. In other words, Pismo, like you stated earlier, was on a call, maybe out at Wasna Townsite or whatnot, as well as their station 63, which is Shell, or 62 in Avila. They could potentially ask us for mutual aid, absolutely. But typically what can happen is they may ask one of their other stations within the county to respond to that. But we absolutely share that mutual aid response. So if we're committed and we talk to all three stations being on a call at the same time, that could literally be right now, if there was a traffic collision in Arroyo Grande, the station 2, Grover Beach station in Arroyo Grande, would respond. That right away takes two engines or two stations out of the mix, and then you have one other call in Oceano or in AG or Grover, then this station would respond. If the station was closed, like it currently is, then we would ask for a mutual aid engine from the county. So it can happen on request.
And I don't know any time we would deny that, or they would, unless we are already committed, which we share their command center now, their dispatch, so they know what we're doing as they know what they're doing. But we do absolutely request that when we're not able to. But it doesn't happen automatically,
right?
So if there's a call in rural AG, Station 64 drives right past us through the village and heads out to that emergency medical call right outside of the Arroyo Grande line into the county response area. So does that answer your...
Yes, it does. And also, you said your calls are rising 3-4% a year.
Yes.
And you don't anticipate that changing.
No.
It could only go up, right?
That's the trend we've seen my whole career, here in the area, and I believe it's happening everywhere. A lot of changes, I guess, in healthcare and whatnot. So yeah, I think we all share that same story, and with our absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
And thank you, Mr. Horton, for answering all my questions. I hope that people have a better idea of, the pros and the cons.
I have another question for you. A couple.
Yes, you said that you respond out to the beach, right?
We do respond out to the beach, yes.
Okay, so if you were here in Oceano, you'd be responding to the calls on the weekends, but basically to the beach.
I can't answer that operational question. I would anticipate yes, because it would be the closest station, but I'm not sure operationally how they would do that.
And how many calls on average are out to the beach?
I don't have that information, ma'am.
Okay. But you
can I can get it for
us.
You, sure. I just don't have it right in my fingertips.
I would like that to see that. And then you said that, I think our general manager stated, and you affirmed that there is no guarantee of 24/7 coverage here.
If you look at the existing tax revenue that OCSD has, if that were come to the county, we could provide 3 days 24/7. Beyond above that, that would have to be negotiated because the revenue wouldn't be there to support it.
So that means that you would want revenue from, you would want to take something, you wouldn't want us, or deny us some services?
We'd have to find revenue. The only other way to do that is to stop doing something else within the county in order to supplement that, because the pie is only so big, and now we're adding, there's more people that want to slice the pie. That we didn't have the tax back in 1979 and AB8 when the tax allocation was split up and OCSD got their tax allocation, the county got our tax allocation. We weren't planning on providing service to OCSD for fire protection. So if that happens now, the board is ultimately going to have to decide whether they want to augment services above and beyond what OCSD can pay for, or take away services from somewhere else in order to do that.
So basically, I don't think you're giving us anything. The communities, it sounds like you're not going to give us anything better than what we have, that what we have is more effective and efficient.
I would love to be able to come in and say, hey, we can provide 24/7 service to the county or to the community of Oceano, but we have to find a way to pay for that. And right now, that if you look at where the funds the OCSD has to pay for fire service, there's a gap. So that's ultimately going to be a decision of the board of what level of service is going to provide OCSD. And then if that level of service is going to be above and beyond what OCSD can afford via their taxes, we have to find a way to pay for that. And that could be from cutting other services from other departments that provide services to all the residents throughout the county. And that's the challenge. It's the challenge of funding. So, yes, the county would be looking for all ways in order to minimize the impact of the general fund, because the general fund is what pays for the sheriff, probation, DA, social service, behavioral health. The general fund pays for a lot of things for services to the entire county, and it's not. We have to, the pie again is only so big.
So is it correct for me to say that if we went with CAL FIRE through the county and all of that, that we probably wouldn't receive the services that we receive now, or the level of service?
The only thing I can say definitively on level of service is because that, again, and I can tell I'm going in, it seems like I'm going in a merry-go-round, but I can't answer that question right now.
Okay.
That would have to be negotiated and taken. It would have to compete with all the other services the county provides, and the board's going to have to make that decision at that time.
I think my point is that I don't think we would receive the same level of service that we do with the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Yeah, what I can say definitively
is
3 days, 24/7.
I know.
That's
I'm just making my point for the public.
So, okay.
Yeah, so thank you. And, you know, it's, no one thinks about it, but maybe it's not to CAL FIRE's benefit to acquire Oceano. Just a comment. Stretches their cost too. So, okay, thank you.
Ma'am, did I answer all your questions?
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Anything else, guys? I'm just going to throw in a 33-second lecture on taxes aren't fair. I'm going to just sit here and tell you this fire tax is not equitable for everybody in Oceano, including me. Some people are going to pay more in relationship to what their property taxes are. Some people are going to pay for vacant lots, which may or may not have weeds and trees on them that can catch fire. So, okay. Proposition 13 locked us, California, into an unfair situation. And to prove myself, to prove that, I went through the village of Halcyon where I lived and looked at every piece of property. And then I referred to the county because the task, if we'd have gone 14 cents a square foot, would have been to figure out whose buildings are where. Well, that is not on the county websites for Halcyon. I don't know about the rest of the world, but if you look at the reality of where the houses that all my neighbors are in and what the county website says are the buildings, we got buildings where they say there's no houses. We got houses where they say, I mean, I'm just saying. And then you look at your neighbors. If you've lived in a house for 30 years, okay, I'll use myself. I pay about, I've lived in the house, well, my dad built it in 59 in Halcyon. I've lived there all my life. And I pay about $2,000 a month in property tax. So I would have to pay another $180. My neighbor who built a house about the same size as mine several years ago pays $5,000 a year in property tax. She's a block from me. Her house is a little newer, but my house is nice. I have a big piece of property. So there's no equity between me and my neighbors. There is no equity at all. If you've owned a house for 50 years downtown Oceano, you're paying $400, $500 a year property tax. If you have a newer house. So talking about the mobile home parks, it really doesn't matter because at least we're telling everybody, okay, you pay $15 a month for more for fire service. And if you're from Fresno and you have a heart attack at the Oceano Melodrama, you're getting service for free. And if you have a vacant lot that's cleared and it's never going to have a fire, you're paying $180 for nothing. Unless you fall down in a gopher hole there. So, I mean, there's just no way that I could find to create a fair and equitable system. So, in my vote, it was because, okay, everybody gets to pay $180. There's no questions.
It's not that you're going to pay more than your neighbor. Anyway, that is my answer to the whole issue of the mobile home. Some people are paying more and some people are paying less in comparison to their houses. But as the truth is, everybody's paying the same. Thank you.
I'd like to mention that with the square footage, I looked into that a lot. And a lot of the places that use that tend to be more urban, and they do it because they have a lot of box stores or manufacturing plants, so the square footage really adds up. But in Oceana, what do we have? I mean, we have Povey and the Melodrama and a few other big buildings, but we don't have that type of urban structures. So I think Karen's right. I think the same amount for everybody, it may not be totally fair, but it's straight across, and, you know, that's what we chose.
Okay.
Do you want to take any more questions?
I want to thank Mr. Horton for coming today, and thank you, Will, for the great presentation. I think I think everything's explained pretty well on the importance of this measure. So thank you for all the information provided today.
And thank you to Battalion Chief Searcy.
Thank you to the chief. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And to everyone for coming.
Entertain a motion.
I want to thank everybody for coming here. And not so much, I don't want you to think so much about fairness. I'm just thinking about the quality of service and what we're going to get if the county comes in. So please think about that. That's what I'm going to be thinking about, and that's how I'm going to vote.
Okay. I still entertain a motion.
I move we adjourn.
Moved and seconded?
Second.
Adjourned.